In the summer of 2021, Portland, Oregon experienced an unprecedented heat wave that sent temperatures soaring from 76 to a staggering 114 degrees in just 24 hours. As the city baked, Professor Vivek Chandas made a shocking discovery. Temperatures varied by 25 degrees between neighborhoods, with the poorest areas reaching a deadly 124°F, while wealthy, tree-lined suburbs remained a relatively bearable 99°F. This stark disparity revealed an uncomfortable truth about our warming world. Heat doesn't affect everyone equally. When temperatures rise to extremes, wealth buys coolness, while poverty can be a death sentence. This reality is at the heart of Jeff Goodell's urgent exploration of humanity's relationship with heat. The book has gained recognition from climate scientists and policymakers alike, with Bill Gates calling it essential reading and Barack Obama including it on his summer reading list. As our planet continues warming at an unprecedented rate, Goodell shows us that heat isn't just uncomfortable, it's an extinction-level threat that's already reshaping our world in profound ways, from melting ice sheets to driving mass migration of humans, animals, plants, and diseases. While technology offers some protection, adaptation has limits, especially for the vulnerable. With heat-related deaths already exceeding all other natural disasters combined, we've entered an era of heat-driven planetary chaos that threatens the very conditions that allowed human civilization to flourish. When Jonathan Garish and Ellen Chung's babysitter arrived at their Sierra Nevada foothills home on August 16, 2021, she found it eerily empty. The couple, who had fled Silicon Valley's hustle for a more natural life with their one-year-old daughter Miju, weren't the type to disappear without notice. By nightfall, worried friends had alerted authorities. The next morning, search teams made a grim discovery. All three family members and their dog, Oski, dead on a remote trail. Ellen's body was found separately, having apparently tried desperately to climb straight up the mountainside toward their vehicle. Their deaths would become a cautionary tale about heat's deceptive danger. The human body is fundamentally a heat machine that must maintain a precise internal temperature of about 98 degrees. In cold environments, we pull blood into vital organs. In heat, we push it toward the skin for cooling through sweat. But our thermal regulation has limits. A wet bulb temperature of 95 degrees marks the edge of human adaptability to humid heat. Beyond this point, hyperthermia begins, potentially leading to fatal heat stroke. Contrary to popular belief, proper hydration can delay heat exhaustion but cannot prevent heat stroke. Even well-hydrated individuals can die from overheating because water doesn't directly cool core body temperature. There are two primary forms of heat stroke: classic, affecting the vulnerable, very young, elderly, overweight, and exertional, which paradoxically often strikes the young and fit. When muscles work, 80% of energy expended releases as heat, which is why athletes can quickly reach dangerous temperatures. As the Garish family climbed in 107-degree heat, their situation grew desperate. At 11:56 a.m., Garish texted for help. No water or Vair heating with baby. With limited supplies and growing disorientation, they continued climbing. His final call attempt came at 12:36 p.m., 2 hours after leaving the river shade. When overheating begins, receptors in the hypothalamus signal your circulatory system to push blood toward your skin for cooling. But this elegant system quickly becomes overwhelmed in extreme heat. As blood diverts to your skin, internal organs become starved for oxygen. At 105, 106 degrees, seizures begin. Above 107, cell membranes literally melt and proteins unfold. Your kidneys collapse, muscles disintegrate, intestines develop holes releasing toxins, and your blood begins clotting uncontrollably. After 2 months of investigation, Sheriff Brees concluded the cause of death was hyperthermia and probable dehydration due to environmental exposure. Ground-level temperatures along the shadeless trail had reached 109 degrees. Each family member faced unique vulnerabilities. Oski as a dog unable to sweat, one-year-old Miju with undeveloped sweat glands, Garish carrying extra weight, and Ellen Chung, despite being physically fit, still susceptible to heat's deadly effects. This tragedy wasn't merely poor decision-making, but reflects our collective failure to reckon with life in a rapidly warming world. We've been lulled into believing technology has tamed nature's forces, unable to grasp the urgency of climate dangers. To understand today's extreme heat dangers, we must examine our evolutionary relationship with heat. Life itself emerged from heat in volcanic ponds and hot springs, where organic compounds from meteors created a primordial soup where RNA molecules eventually formed microbes. For the first 3.5 billion years, creatures managed temperature by adapting to their environment, today's cold-blooded reptiles and amphibians. But around 260 million years ago, a revolutionary strategy emerged. Some animals developed internal temperature control independent of their surroundings. While cold-blooded creatures spend 30 times less energy than warm-blooded ones, warm-bloodedness offers crucial advantages. A stable body temperature aids physiological processes like digestion, enables longer periods of activity, helps parents care for offspring, and allows more precise functioning of nervous system cells, heart, and muscles. It also provides resistance to disease and enables faster movement. As biologist John Grady explains, higher body temperature equals higher metabolism, which equals quicker reactions, a competitive advantage that helped mammals spread across the globe. In 1974, Donald Johansson discovered Lucy in Ethiopia's Awash River Valley, a 3.2 million-year-old hominin with a spine, pelvis, and leg bones similar to modern humans. Unlike earlier tree-dwelling ancestors who moved on all fours, Lucy was bipedal. While paleoanthropologists debate why our ancestors stood up, one compelling explanation is heat management. Standing allowed Lucy to catch cooling breezes and escape the significantly warmer ground temperature. Animals employed diverse cooling strategies. Elephant skin becomes more permeable in heat. Koalas hug cool-barked trees. Kangaroos spit on their arms. Squirrels use tails as parasols. Hippos roll in mud. Lions climb trees. Rabbits use ears as radiators. Birds employ gular fluttering. Giraffes' patterned skin functions as thermal windows. The silver Saharan ant, which has just 10 minutes before desert heat kills it, runs at speeds equivalent to a human moving 450 miles per hour and has triangular heat-reflecting hairs. Anthropologist Jill Prutz has spent 20 years studying chimpanzees in Senegal's brutally hot environment. These Fongoli chimps live in the hottest, most arid habitat of any chimps on Earth, with temperatures reaching 120 degrees. They've developed unique behaviors, requiring daily water access, resting 5 to 7 hours daily, seeking caves during dry season, soaking in ponds during rainy season, and altering their sleeping patterns. Most significantly for human evolution, these heat-stressed chimps spend more time standing upright than chimps in cooler environments. Lucy inhabited an East Africa transforming from rainforest to savanna as the climate grew hotter and drier. The most adaptive early hominins survived by developing new skills, including tool use and group hunting. Anthropologist Kevin Hunt suggests bipedalism evolved gradually, first in Lucy's generation for heat escape and fruit reaching, then in Homo erectus with elongated limbs for faster movement and better heat dissipation. As our ancestors ventured from forest to savanna, they faced increased ultraviolet radiation. Their solution was melanin production, a dark brown pigment acting as natural sunscreen. For millions of years, all our ancestors were dark-skinned. Only after migration to northern climates did lighter skin become advantageous, allowing more sunlight through for vitamin D production. Our ancestors developed a sophisticated heat management system, an internal sprinkler system that douses skin with water when overheated. Unlike other mammals with apocrine glands that produce thick, milky sweat, humans evolved to rely primarily on eccrine sweat glands that efficiently cool through evaporation. With approximately 2 million of these microscopic glands distributed across our bodies, we can produce up to 12 quarts of sweat daily, 10 times more than a chimpanzee. This evolutionary advantage, combined with our hairless bodies, allowed humans to become exceptional endurance hunters. Our heat management strategies were optimized for the Goldilocks zone we've inhabited for 10,000 years. Now, with rapidly changing climate conditions, these adaptations are increasingly insufficient. We're like silent film actors suddenly cast in speaking roles with skills no longer well matched to our environment. Modern cities have become heat amplifiers, with materials like asphalt, concrete, and steel absorbing and radiating heat. Downtown Phoenix can be 20 degrees hotter than surrounding areas, while New York City averages 2 to 5 degrees warmer than its leafy suburbs during the day and up to 20 degrees warmer at night. This urban heat island effect has had more impact on local temperatures than climate change itself, with potentially catastrophic consequences. In 2021, Phoenix recorded 339 heat-related deaths, triple the number from a decade earlier. Globally, urban heat risk has tripled over 40 years, putting 1.7 billion people in danger. With 70% of the world's population expected to live in cities by 2050, the problem will only intensify. Mikhail Chester of Arizona State University warns of a potential Hurricane Katrina of extreme heat, a cascading infrastructure failure beginning with a blackout that could leave thousands dead. Urban heat creates isolation and hardship, particularly for those without means to access cool spaces. In Chennai, India, Anjali lives with her family in a small palm leaf roofed hut in a slum. During brutal May heat waves, her daily routines revolve around managing heat, wetting down their thatched roof, spreading water around the dirt floor, and moving slowly to preserve strength. While she finds temporary relief cleaning air-conditioned homes of wealthy residents, her husband, with a heart condition, must work construction outdoors, exposing him to dangerous heat with no respite. Chennai's transformation from a gentler city with traditional cooling architecture to a sprawling concrete metropolis has eliminated natural cooling features. The city lost 80% of its wetlands, replacing them with pavement that traps heat. This development created a dual crisis of extreme heat and water scarcity, despite receiving twice London's rainfall. In Phoenix, similar inequalities exist, where the poor, like Leonor Juarez, must ration air conditioning while facing $500 monthly electric bills, more than her rent. The death of 72-year-old Stephanie Pullman, whose power was cut over an unpaid $51 bill during 107-degree heat, exemplifies the emerging temperature apartheid, where some enjoy cool comfort while others suffer in dangerous heat. In 2017, shortly after Hurricane Harvey flooded Houston, I drove through central Arizona on Route 66, the historic Mother Road that once carried hundreds of thousands escaping America's first man-made environmental catastrophe, the Dust Bowl. Turning south toward Phoenix, I watched my car's temperature gauge climb past 109 degrees as the asphalt shimmered and dry pines seemed ready to combust. At a service station, I encountered a mud-splattered Subaru with "We Survived Hurricane Harvey, Orange, Texas" written on its window in pink letters, packed with belongings and a guitar case. The exhausted middle-aged woman and scruffy man who emerged represented the new wave of climate migrants. As the world heats up, everything moves, from molecules to entire species. All creatures evolved within specific temperature ranges, and when those ranges shift dramatically, they must migrate or perish. Scientists tracking 4,000 species found 40 to 70% have altered their distribution, with terrestrial creatures moving nearly 20 kilometers per decade, and marine creatures four times faster. Atlantic cod migrate north at 100 miles per decade, while coral polyps travel about 2 miles northward annually. Even trees are shifting, conifers heading north, broadleaf trees moving west, with white spruce migrating at an astonishing 60 miles per decade. Not all species can adapt equally to rising temperatures. While sharks can swim from Florida to Maine, stationary creatures like mussels cannot. Arctic birds like thick-billed murres face deadly heat stress with nowhere cooler to go. Pacific salmon struggle when water temperatures exceed 58 degrees, forming lethal migration barriers above 70 degrees. Bumblebees, crucial pollinators with fur suited for cold climates, are disappearing 8 times faster than they're colonizing new areas, disrupting entire ecosystems. Meanwhile, pine bark beetles thrive in warmer conditions, detecting heat-stressed trees through chemical signals and creating devastating feedback loops as they kill forests that become more vulnerable to wildfires. In Phoenix, I met Robert Stevens, a programmer abandoning Arizona after collapsing from heat during a hike. "This heat is dangerous," he explained while packing for Minneapolis. Yet, paradoxically, Maricopa County remains one of America's fastest-growing regions. As UC Berkeley's Solomon Heng notes, people have faith in adaptation, but underestimate the costs and limitations. The climate crisis has displaced millions globally, from Southeast Asia to the African Sahel, where the UN estimates 700 million people will be on the move by 2030. Pakistan's 2022 floods alone displaced 33 million people. El Camino del Diablo, the Devil's Highway in Arizona's Sonoran Desert, serves as a deadly thermal barrier for migrants. Here, heat becomes weaponized against those attempting to cross the border. John Orlovsky of No More Deaths explained how Border Patrol deliberately funnels migrants through the hottest, most dangerous regions. Their helicopters use dusting techniques to scatter migrant groups, making individuals more vulnerable to the desert's merciless conditions. Over 3 decades, an estimated 9,000 people have died on this route, primarily from dehydration and heat exhaustion. Walking with Orlovsky through this harsh landscape, we placed water jugs and beans at crossing points, finding evidence of recent passages. The desert's austere beauty, red prickly pear flowers and spiny ocotillos, contrasts with its deadly nature. From the mountaintop, Orlovsky gestured toward distant peaks. "Between here and there, I'm sure there are dozens of people crossing right now. You just can't see them. Just like the heat, they are invisible." On July 19, 2022, during the UK's hottest recorded day, climate scientist Friederike Otto biked across London Bridge. The hot wind burning her lungs surprised her, despite her expertise in extreme heat events. As she passed the monument to the Great Fire of London, she imagined how easily the city could burn again in such conditions. To Otto, she wasn't just experiencing a hot day, she was a detective biking through a crime scene. Heat's nature has fascinated humanity for millennia. Ancient civilizations harnessed it practically, from fire domestication for cooking and warmth to metal smelting by Egyptians. Spiritually, heat held significance in Hindu enlightenment practices, Aztec deity representations, and Native American sweat lodge rituals. The Greeks conceptualized heat as one of 4 elements, with Plato glimpsing its connection to motion. During the Islamic Golden Age, al-Biruni theorized heat as detached rays of the sun, while Ibn al-Haytham experimented with mirrors to demonstrate light and heat's relationship. Scientific measurement began with Galileo's primitive thermometer around 1602, using floating glass spheres in wine. Count Rumford, born in Massachusetts in 1753, revolutionized our understanding of heat through a brilliantly simple experiment. While overseeing cannon manufacturing in Bavaria, he modified the boring apparatus to submerge a brass cannon in water while drilling. As horses powered the drill, the water gradually heated until boiling after 150 minutes without any fire. This demolished the prevailing caloric theory that viewed heat as a fluid substance, proving instead that heat is inexhaustible, generated through motion. Heat isn't a fluid flowing between objects, but molecular vibration transferring energy. When grabbing a hot car door handle, the handle's fast-moving molecules collide with your hand's slower ones, increasing their speed, which your brain registers as warmth. As physicist Brian Greene puts it, heat moves less like a river through a canyon and more like laughter through a crowd. Different molecular structures vibrate at different rates, explaining why water holds more heat than air and why greenhouse gases like CO2 trap heat while others don't. Early climate science pioneers like Eunice Newton Foote identified in 1856 that higher CO2 levels would warm the planet, but without understanding molecular vibration. Scientists initially viewed warming positively. Svante Arrhenius in 1896 hoped for more equitable and better climates. By the 1950s, scientists recognized atmospheric CO2 was rising, with Roger Revel warning Congress that greenhouse effects might turn Southern California and Texas into real deserts. Friederike Otto, initially feeling completely unemployable after her philosophy of science PhD, landed a position with Oxford geophysicist Miles Allen in 2003. This fortuitous connection led to revolutionary work in climate science. In 2003, Allen watched the River Thames threatening his home and wondered why climate scientists couldn't determine responsibility for such events. Allen and colleague Peter Stott soon conducted the first attribution study on Europe's 2003 heatwave, concluding human influence had at least doubled its risk, birthing the science of extreme event attribution. In 2014, Otto and Allen formed World Weather Attribution with Heidi Cullen to produce rapid analyses of extreme weather events while still newsworthy. Despite establishment skepticism, Otto's team developed rigorous methods that withstood scrutiny, eventually analyzing events like Hurricane Harvey and the 2021 Pacific Northwest heatwave, which they determined would have been virtually impossible without climate change. Otto believes this science will enable climate accountability in courts, potentially making companies liable for their proportional contribution to climate disasters. By July 2022, Texas rancher Mickey Edwards was forced to sell 15% of his cattle herd after drought left his pastures crunchy, dry, and dusty, and a stock pond completely dried up. Nearby, John Paul Dineen's corn crop was pathetic and scraggly, yielding only half the normal harvest. The crisis extended globally. France saw its lowest corn harvest in 3 decades, India restricted wheat exports, and worldwide food insecurity soared from 135 million people in 2019 to 345 million. Climate change has already reduced global crop production by 21%, with each degree Celsius increase expected to decrease yield significantly for staple crops. As Donald Ord explained, the largest single global change that threatens food security is high temperature. Plants, like humans, have their own Goldilocks zone, but cannot escape extreme temperatures. Heat accelerates plant metabolism, increasing water needs dramatically. A mere 18°F temperature rise more than doubles a plant's water requirements. Corn is particularly vulnerable, with a single acre sweating 4,000 gallons daily in summer. Heat also disrupts bloom timing, increases vulnerability to diseases like aflatoxin, causes rice to absorb more arsenic, and accelerates pest life cycles. While increased CO2 initially benefits plant growth, the negative effects of heat quickly overwhelm any advantages and reduce nutritional content in staple crops. The Rio Grande Valley, once considered a thorny wilderness, was transformed into an agricultural paradise around 1900 when settlers began irrigating from the Rio Grande. With water taming the heat, the Magic Valley flourished into one of America's most productive agricultural regions, growing everything from watermelons to papayas. However, by 2022, the Southwest was suffering its worst drought in 1,200 years, with diminishing snowpack, increasing water demands, and rising heat threatening this agricultural miracle. Alexis Racellis, a 46-year-old agroecologist at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, works with local farmers to develop methods requiring less water and reduced dependence on industrial agriculture. Born to Filipino immigrants and inspired by his grandfather's gardening, Reselles earned his Ph.D. at UC Santa Cruz before working for the USDA studying invasive species. Now he leads the local food movement and founded the Hub of Prosperity, a 5-acre farm and community garden in Edinburgh focused on sustainable agricultural practices. Despite aloe's remarkable heat adaptations, including closing its stomata during daytime heat and entering a hibernation-like state during drought, farmer Andy Cruz struggles with his 700-acre aloe farm. A 2020 cold snap killed half his plants, demonstrating how climate change creates unpredictable weather extremes. Up until 5 years ago, things were fairly predictable, Cruz observed. But now, you never know what's coming. It's different. Something's changed. Corn, despite being a C4 plant with better heat tolerance than C3 plants, is approaching its adaptive temperature limits. It evolved in Mexico's ADF Balsas River Valley, but struggles at 102F, especially during reproduction, when heat disrupts pollen tube development. Commercial corn varieties, bred by companies like Monsanto for high yields in specific conditions, have lost genetic diversity that might help them adapt. Simply moving corn production northward isn't feasible due to complex factors, including soil conditions, water availability, and economic considerations. Farmers in the Magic Valley practice just-in-time adaptation, shifting crops and planting times as conditions change. Indoor farming offers another solution, with companies like AppHarvest creating controlled environments using recycled rainwater and precise computer monitoring of plants without pesticides or agricultural runoff. But scaling such operations to feed millions remains challenging. Meanwhile, heat threatens animal proteins too. Thousands of cows died from heat stress in Kansas feedlots in 2022, and alternatives like cell-based meats, plant proteins, and even cricket farms are emerging. Despite technological innovations, Reselles soberly reminds us of fundamental biological limits. When it gets too hot, things die. That's just how it works. In summer 2013, an unprecedented marine heat wave formed in the northern Pacific when a high-pressure ridge settled over the ocean. Without waves and wind to dissipate heat, water temperatures rose by 5 degrees, a massive spike that climatologist Nick Bond nicknamed the Blob. This oceanic heat anomaly triggered catastrophic ecosystem collapse by killing phytoplankton, disrupting the entire food chain from krill to whales, and causing mass die-offs of marine life. The Blob's destruction was staggering. Thousands of whale and sea lion strandings, collapse of the Alaska cod fishery, bankrupted fishermen, vanishing kelp forests, and the largest recorded seabird die-off in history. A million dead murres littering beaches. Its effects extended inland, altering weather patterns, contributing to California's drought, and possibly accelerating wildfires by increasing nighttime temperatures. This slow-rolling climate catastrophe demonstrated how tightly Earth's systems are interconnected through the ocean. The ocean has absorbed 90% of excess heat from fossil fuels, acting as the planet's climate hero. Without this buffering effect, our atmosphere would be significantly hotter. But this stored heat doesn't disappear. It redistributes through currents like the Gulf Stream and will continue seeping out for centuries, slowing any cooling efforts. Even small changes in ocean systems dramatically impact weather patterns, as seen in the atmospheric rivers that caused California's devastating floods in 2023, driven by upper ocean heat anomalies. Monterey Bay's kelp forests, once vibrant underwater rainforests teeming with otters, seals, sharks, and fish, are rapidly disappearing. The Blob triggered a catastrophic chain reaction. Warming waters caused sea star wasting disease, eliminating a key predator of purple sea urchins. Without this check, urchin populations exploded, devouring entire kelp ecosystems. Marine scientist Laura Rogers-Bennett notes the public's obliviousness to this collapse. If a 200-mile-long stretch of forest in the California mountains suddenly died, people would be shocked and outraged. But because it happened in the ocean, nobody notices. Marine heat waves have struck ecosystems worldwide in the past decade. The Mediterranean experienced multiple events with temperatures spiking 11 degrees above normal, what one oceanographer called underwater wildfires. Tasmania lost most of its giant kelp. Uruguay saw massive clam and mussel die-offs, and species everywhere are migrating toward cooler waters. Bull sharks now appear off North Carolina, lobsters have vanished from Long Island Sound, and tropical fish inhabit formerly cold northern waters. Coral reefs, the most biodiverse ecosystems on the planet, are collapsing under marine heat waves. These reefs house 25% of marine life while occupying less than 1% of the ocean floor. The symbiotic relationship between corals and zooxanthella breaks down with just 1 to 2 degrees of warming, causing bleaching and eventual starvation. Australia's Great Barrier Reef has suffered 6 bleaching events since 1998, with 93% of corals impacted. Despite conservation efforts like the Reef 2050 plan, Australia continues exporting coal that contributes to the reef's demise. Scientists are developing heat-resistant coral strains and probiotic treatments, but Ken Caldera predicts most reefs will be eroding away by mid-century, with recovery taking at least 10,000 years. In the deadly 2021 Pacific Northwest heat wave, Sebastian Perez, a 38-year-old Guatemalan immigrant, collapsed while working alone in an Oregon nursery field as temperatures soared past 106°F. Despite emergency response, he died from heat exposure, one of many outdoor workers claimed by rising temperatures. Across America, 15 million people work outdoors, facing increasing heat hazards with minimal protection. Heat is killing workers across industries, from UPS drivers found dead in parking lots to warehouse employees collapsing on the job. In Qatar, thousands of migrant workers died building World Cup facilities despite work restrictions during peak heat hours. Farm workers face particular danger, being 35 times more likely to die from heat than other occupations. Beyond immediate fatalities, chronic kidney disease has become epidemic among agricultural workers in hot regions worldwide. Heat also increases workplace injuries and reduces productivity, with U.S. losses estimated at $100 billion in 2020, potentially growing to $500 billion by 2050. Despite decades of advocacy, the U.S. has no federal heat exposure rules for workers. The Asunción Valdivia Heat Illness and Fatality Prevention Act, named after a farm worker who died after picking grapes for 10 hours in 105-degree heat, faces slim chances of passing. Only California and Washington had meaningful heat regulations when Perez died in 2021. California requires employers to provide cool water, encourage hourly breaks, and provide shade when temperatures exceed 80°F. In Oregon, growers had resisted heat protection rules for years, claiming they couldn't afford them. Sebastian Perez grew up farming in Guatemala before traveling to America seeking better wages to support his family and build a future with his wife Maria. Despite their simple but happy life together in Guatemala, they struggled financially, sharing a cramped house without running water. Perez paid $12,000 to a coyote to cross into America, taking a dangerous desert journey before reaching Oregon, where his nephew Pedro Lucas helped him find work at Ernst Nursery. Working 10-hour days at $14 an hour, Perez lived frugally, sending most earnings home while paying down his debt. The night before his collapse in a 107-degree field, he spoke with both his mother and wife, his mother warning him about the heat, while Maria assumed he would take breaks as he did in Guatemala. Unlike in his homeland, American farm labor offered no protections from extreme heat. The connection between heat, labor, and racism has deep historical roots. In Texas today, most grueling outdoor work is performed by Mexican and Central American workers, perpetuating the false belief that certain races tolerate heat better than others. This myth dates back to slavery, when doctors like Samuel Cartwright claimed black people were physiologically suited for heat exposure that would kill white workers. Such scientific racism justified brutal cotton field conditions where slaves worked bent over for hours under scorching sun. Even after slavery's abolition, these beliefs persisted, with Mexicans channeled into the hottest industrial jobs in early 20th century America. During 1920s immigration debates, Congressman Carlos B. described Mexicans as hot weather plants, naturally suited for summer labor in Texas. Ernst Nursery, where Perez worked, had previously been cited for failing to provide water to workers and not posting pesticide information. Like many agricultural operations, they used independent labor contractors to distance themselves from responsibility for worker conditions. This system leaves workers vulnerable. Many don't even know which farm they're working on. After Perez's death, Oregon finally implemented emergency heat rules requiring shade above 80 degrees and rest periods when temperatures exceed 90 degrees. As United Farm Workers Elizabeth Stratter noted, heat death is entirely preventable, with basic provisions. It takes shade and cool water and rest. That is all. As cities worldwide face unprecedented heat challenges, they must transform from places built for stable climates into environments that can withstand extreme temperatures. The 2003 Paris heatwave killed 15,000 people in France, with nearly 1,000 deaths in central Paris alone. Many victims trapped in top-floor apartments beneath zinc roofs that essentially cooked them alive. Bodies accumulated faster than they could be buried, forcing officials to commandeer refrigerated food trucks and warehouses. This tragedy revealed how cities built for Goldilocks climates are fundamentally unprepared for extreme heat. After the devastating 2003 heatwave, Parisians primarily focused on caring for vulnerable populations rather than connecting the disaster to climate change. Many cities lack climate culture, like the Bay Area's perfect weather, Mexico City's mild climate, or Montana's cold weather expertise that leaves residents unprepared for heat. Places adapted to one extreme remain vulnerable to unfamiliar conditions. Texans know heat, but were clueless during the 2021 deep freeze, unsure whether to drain pipes or how to drive on ice. Paris's celebrated beauty emerged from Baron Haussmann's brutal 19th-century transformation that bulldozed medieval slums, created wide boulevards, and erected uniform limestone apartment buildings with zinc roofs. Though innovative then, these zinc roofs now act like frying pans, reaching 194 degrees on hot days. With poor ventilation and insulation in top-floor garrets, they became death traps during the 2003 heatwave. Solutions are limited. Adding insulation requires rebuilding entire frameworks. Replacing roofs faces preservation opposition, and even painting them white meets resistance from historical preservationists. Mayor Anne Hidalgo, daughter of Spanish refugees who fled fascism, began transforming Paris in 2014. She first targeted cars, closing roadways along the Seine, converting Rue de Rivoli into a bike boulevard, creating pedestrian areas in major squares, and building 250 miles of bike lanes. After the 2018 Yellow Vest protests against fuel taxes threatened President Macron's presidency, Hidalgo pivoted to trees. Paris has only 9% tree canopy cover, compared to Boston's 18% and Oslo's 29%, so she launched an urban forest campaign promising 170,000 new trees by 2026. Trees are climate superheroes. They absorb CO2, exhale oxygen, filter pollution, cool through evapotranspiration, and provide shade. During a 2022 Paris heatwave, ground temperature at the Opera House reached 133°F, while under nearby trees, it measured just 82°F. But tree initiatives face challenges beyond planting. Maintenance costs are substantial, $4,351 to maintain one oak for 5 years in Los Angeles. Responsibility is often unclear, and urban trees face harsh conditions: dogs, asphalt, vandalism, drunk drivers, and invasive pests. Climate change complicates matters further. Arborists must select species for future conditions, replacing vulnerable London planes in Paris with oaks and buckeyes. Cities worldwide are reimagining urban spaces by reintegrating natural elements. Seoul invested $900 million to remove a highway and restore the Chenggaechen stream, cooling the surrounding area by 10 degrees. Athens plans to renovate a Roman-era aqueduct to irrigate green spaces, while New York created the High Line. Singapore represents artificial nature at its extreme. Highways canopied with trees, expanded parks, and buildings like the Oasia Hotel covered in climbing plants. Paris's iconic Champs-Élysées, once designed by King Louis XIV Gardener as a manifestation of Enlightenment thinking, has deteriorated into a touristy wasteland. Architecture firm PCA Stream developed a $300 million transformation plan viewing the city as a living organism. Their proposal eliminates traffic lanes for bike paths and pedestrian spaces, replaces heat-absorbing asphalt with reflective paving, captures rainwater, and plants over 1,000 trees in connected soil systems that allow roots to communicate. The redesign would lower sidewalk temperatures by 7 degrees, but faces implementation challenges from preservationists resistant to changing historic elements. As architect Philippe Chambaretta notes, we can save the future or we can save the past, but we can't do both. Retrofitting Paris for extreme heat faces significant hurdles. At the current pace of 1% per year, insulating historic buildings would take 75 years. The Champs-Élysées renovation won't begin until 2025 at earliest, requiring a decade to complete. While France invests $40 billion in expanding the metro to reduce cars, Paris City Councillor Alexandre Florentin argues for a Haussmannian transformation through democratic means. Here in Paris, Florentin states bluntly, there are three options: we roast, we flee, or we act.